You know what a lot of us have been? We've been reduced to serving him.
Yeah.
Because we believe we're indebted and we owe him because we believe what he did on the cross. Or we don't see his first love. We're like, why would he love me? How could he love me? I can't believe he did that for me. And we never get a hold of the value he sees us in. He sees us for what he created us to be. He sees us for our potential, our destiny, and our purpose. We have identified ourselves through where we've been, what we've done, what's been done to us.
That's right.
So we find our value through ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
He finds our value through what he created and intended us to be, and that's why he put his son on the cross to redeem that truth.
Yeah.
Amen.
This is such a good deal. And it's so simple, but it was never taught to me my whole life. In fact, to say what I was saying in the churches I grew up in, they would throw you out the door.
Yeah. Come on.
And yet it's where freedom is found, because he who the Son sets free.
It's free indeed.
I'm not being mean or rude right now. I don't have anybody specifically in mind. But my whole life growing up, I never saw freedom in people that went to church. I saw doctrinal beliefs. I saw arguments. And I saw move my life just like everybody else that didn't go to church. So, there's got to be something we've been missing.
Yes, sir.
I just realized I thought of you this morning. I made it really hard on you last night, didn't I? You had that little phone. Were you just following me all around?
It's okay.
Did I make it hard on you? She didn't come home like sad. She just come out and be sad. I looked back over my shoulder there and she just. I just go, I wonder if I made it really hard on you. Because I remember late at night when I was way over there, I looked and I realized you had a little phone on there. I thought, oh my goodness, how did you just.
You made it fun.
Sorry.
Good at it.
I preach this all the time, guys. Thanks for coming, by the way. Saturday morning always amazes me. People come on Saturday mornings and folks that they drove away. So I was like, oh, my goodness, this better be good. Come on, Saturday morning drive. Bring all your children. You got a whole row of children. They go on a bus, man.
Woo!
Okay, 2 hours.
Wow.
What? I should need to ask you. I said, this better be good. I say it all the time, like even the thing we preach, I said, this gentleman, he said, can you talk about how you maintain shining and how you recover in shining if you haven't been shining? Because last night I kept saying, the whole reason of the earth is to shine.
Yeah.
Jesus said, let your light so shine before men.
Yeah.
Church attendance has very, very little to do
with
your life if you're not shining.
That's it.
Because inadvertently what will happen is your church attendance will take the place of knowing him and define your Christianity. So going to church is what makes you a Christian instead of Christ-likeness.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You can go to church the rest of your life. Everybody can go to church. We can fill every seat in every church tomorrow on our traditional day to attend church. That doesn't mean the world will change a bit.
That's right. That's right.
Sometimes it makes us feel better about ourselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So attending church doesn't guarantee that the world will change, but becoming love has to change something.
Amen.
If we start walking in love, start living by the Spirit, start walking in truth, take accountability for our lives, have true, sincere relationships. We're talking about the faces I'm looking at right here this morning. This small room is an army when you think of your spiritual influence all multiplied together.
Amen. Amen.
I'm looking at an army.
Amen.
I mean, God dwindled Gideon down to 300 folks, man. They had thousands, and he said, this is way too much. Somebody's going to keep some glory on this one. We better get rid of the army. He cuts it down to a small group of men. This is an army in God. When you look at your sphere of influence and the people you come across, have rub elbows with and have contact with, and even just pass by. One time we call Holy Ghost drive-bys. Just one time, just boom. You multiply that times this room, you're talking about a lot of people. You're talking about a big sphere of influence. I wonder if we took this thing serious and weren't just looking for blessings, provision, and protection, and we're actually wanting to live in His Spirit and believe our life makes a difference because it's on purpose and on time. And we're done being discouraged and hurt and deceived and frustrated and self-centered and self-focused because we're seeking first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And his righteousness. And all of a sudden we understand life is a gift, not a grind or a drag.
Yeah.
And we start living our life in his truth. Just think what that would do to our spheres of influence and how we start multiplying what's in your heart, in the hearts of others, in seed form.
Right.
Just think if we all live that way for a week, a month, 4 months, a year. I wonder if 5 years from now, we've, in this room at large, we've pursued and just walked in love.
Yeah.
Kept our hearts guarded and didn't live in offense.
Come on, dude.
And didn't get up and down and lose season because of breaking hearts or betrayal or my story. Come on, be honest. A lot of us got tricked into our lives just living from moment to moment, whether it was good or bad. It was our thing. It was what was going on with us. It was our story. It was our little saga. It was our little script.
Yeah.
And it was all about what I'm going through and how I'm feeling and, hey, how's it going? Well, you know. Oh, yeah. But it was life-giving, and all of a sudden you had a reason to be less. In your mind, actually, you had a reason to be less than what you paid for.
Come on.
And I don't want that in my life.
No, man.
I don't want to sell cheap if I'm not for sale. I read this in scripture that I've been bought with a price.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not my own. So this brother said, how do you maintain shining? It's a very good question. I was so touched by the last song, Joyce. You say what I am, because what I like to preach a lot is if you don't see how he sees you, you'll never have confidence to really draw near him and have intimacy with God. You'll pray your prayer list, you'll still pray your needs. You can pray your needs list and be impersonal.
Yeah.
You can actually have a valid prayer life and asking life and supplication life and stay impersonal with the Lord. But when you say who he says you are, when you start receiving his love, Father, I thank you that you forgave me of everything I've ever done. It's so important for every Christian to have a moment there. I don't even talk about that anymore. I'm so sure of that.
Yeah.
I have total access to him through the blood of Jesus Christ. Like he loves me.
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah. So I've been talking about all my former sins a long time ago.
Yeah.
But there's a time for every Christian to just acknowledge that you're forgiven,
yeah,
that you're clean,
yeah,
that you're free.
Yes.
He looks at you and loves you. He's not disappointed. You know, many people go to church regularly, serve in ministries, have amazing hearts, and somehow believe they're somehow disappointing God.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you see the phrase, he takes no pleasure, we always hear displeasure.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't even mean displeasure. When he takes no pleasure, it means he can't rejoice as a father over a son walking in fruition, walking in destiny. Walking, you know, if you know one of your kids is just walking out their potential, and it's like, you go, boy. It's not displeasure. If they're not, actually most parents, if they're not, you're cheering them on and you're knowing there's so much more. There's this bug in your heart that's not even a bit frustrating.
Uh-huh.
It's yearning for them. It's longing for them. It's pulling for them. Who can relate to what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But then why would we think of God when we think displeasure, scowl, station of outrage? Isn't it somehow we've been tricked into the disposition of God being displeasure?
Yes.
Well, I just think God's mad at me. While you were yet a sinner, he sent his son.
Amen.
He wasn't even mad when you didn't care. When sin was abandoned, grace was much more.
Amen.
Love was covering a multitude of sin. And mercy was triumphing over judgment.
Yeah.
That's not to enable sin. That's not to empower you to stay the same. That's to shift around that thing and say your life is so much more.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Called change.
Yes.
God's not like, well, you now go ahead, you've been messing up long enough, ain't it time to get it straight? You sing a song like this, it's very powerful. Because God said, let your light so shine before men, and that's strong purpose in your life. So anything that's not shining before men, you're getting tricked into living less than what's possible through the person of Holy Spirit. And that's not to be legalistic and critiquing and critical. What I'm saying is we've become so used to complaining, we've been so familiar with who we've been apart from him, that somehow we get tricked into bringing him into who we've been.
Oh,
hope.
But you get new life through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Put off the old man and his deeds. Put on the new man. Step out of darkness into light.
Yes.
Do you hear the scripture and how there's a transformation? Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You look up that phrase, it means thinking like you've never thought before.
Yeah. Amen.
Where am I going to get new thoughts from new life?
Yeah.
There you go.
Where am I going to get new thinking from the new and living way?
That's right.
Because you've not got any other teacher but one. So if we've learned anything outside of him, we haven't learned at all.
Yes, yes.
And all of a sudden, the way that seemeth right to a man is our wisdom, but it doesn't produce life. In fact, it's the opposite. It always leads to destruction.
Yes.
Why? Because at the core, it's self-centered, it's self-focused, it's self-driven. The way that seemeth right to a man, almost all processing of the way that seemeth right to a man has to do with what about me, how it affected me, what it put me through, what it's costing me. Yes. And then that dictates your emotions and your expression, and all of a sudden there's no light shining.
Yeah.
But yet he's the light of the world.
Yes.
And he's on the inside of every believer.
Amen. Amen.
Are you all with me?
Yeah, come on.
Yes.
Come on, this is a big deal.
Yes.
So how do I maintain that? I get alone in prayer. I keep talking to myself about that and talking to him about that. I keep that thing in front of me.
Yeah.
I wake up in the morning and I teach myself through prayer. And sometimes it's even discipline. I'm telling you, if you've got to put a note on your bathroom mirror and say, remember who you are.
Wow.
Or don't forget the why. Or whatever triggers you toward truth. So you don't just wake up and have one of those moments. Who's ever woke up just,
oh,
I need an extra hour, and this ain't gonna
be good.
God healed me through. I don't know what I'm doing. Last week I woke up and felt just like this. It was hell. Who's ever had one of them?
Yeah,
you go to the bathroom. Oh, Lord. And you call that prayer. You're praying it? Oh, yeah, I'm praying the whole way.
And
that's where you hold yourself accountable.
Yeah.
That's where you don't need Robert to call you or Jay to call you and say, how are you doing this morning? No, no, you've been with the Lord. You hold yourself accountable.
Yes.
You're following your convictions.
Yes.
You're listening to the voice of your own heart and the voice of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it's like, morning, morning. And you ain't like, whatever. No, turn back. Go forward. Turn back. So you got heat. The voice of your conscience, or the voice of the Holy Spirit, whatever it might be, because you can be either. Because see, once truth gets in your heart, now there's a voice in your life that wasn't there before.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then when you start walking in some other way, that thing can come right back to you, remember it, and pull you right back online.
Amen. Amen.
You've got to learn to follow your convictions. If you don't follow your convictions, you violate your conscience. If you violate your conscience, you shipwreck your heart. It's where a lot of people live that have good intentions. And all of a sudden, they don't feel good about themselves, and they feel like they failed. So they spend days in a mentality of failure instead of just dealing with it right in the moment and going, duh, what was I thinking? That wasn't profitable. That didn't produce light. And my life is worth more. And you wouldn't shed your blood. Now you're back on track. You're in communion with God. Man, the attitude that I conveyed, the mindset that I possessed, I'm so unprofitable, God. I'm not even sure how I get tricked into that stuff. But man, I'm glad you got my attention and you're pulling me out of this and you're teaching me a new thing. And I'm a little wiser and a little sharper than I was 2 hours ago. Holy Spirit, thank you for being patient with me and working with me, because this thing is changing and I'm not even going to have my 2 hour moment here in a moment, because I'm walking in this thing.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? That's how you walk it out. So it's not about failing, it's about becoming. Because you're not flavored, you're not like whatever. You're taking accountability for your own heart. So if you find yourself walking outside the truth you're pursuing, you're not ignoring that. So it's not about failing, it's about becoming, it's about growing up into Him, Ephesians 4, into all things. To the full measure. See, don't be limited. Don't let religion limit you. Don't let your background and your past teachings and stuff limit you. To the full measure of the stature of Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Grow up into Him in what? All things. Is all things possible?
Yes.
All things pertaining to life and godliness, right? That all things is life and godliness. We have all things through Him.
Yeah.
And He says, Peter said, the all things are of God.
Yeah?
Yes.
Man. So Ephesians 4 says we're going to grow up into Him in all things. To the full measure. You find me a limit in that. To the full measure of the stature of Christ. If He wasn't making that available, why would He say, follow me?
That's yes. Yes.
If I couldn't. We have so taught ourselves that we can't. Our own life's experience, some of our former teachings, some of our leaders that meant well, trying to stay humble, but it's a false humility.
Yeah.
When you take an identity that He took away, and you start to talk yourself down as if to lift Him up, that is not what He wants.
That's right.
We're not talking about pride and boasting and stuff like that. I'm talking about just saying what He says.
Yes.
Just say it. If you don't say yes to every yes of His, then that's pride. Because you're not receiving His testimony.
Amen.
And you're not stepping into what He accomplished and what His blood and His cross says about you. So when you live in a different testimony than the blood is proclaiming, that's not humility.
No.
Why? Because pride resists. Humility receives. So if you don't receive the yes of the Lord through the cross, if the cross is saying, you're worth my blood, you're worth life in the Spirit, you're worth my death, your life lived is worth me dying, I love you. If you don't go yes, that's unbelief coupled with pride.
Yeah.
If you try to share your story, your history, your background, and your reason why you can't receive that, deception.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Come on! It's been an easy place for most because we've been identified our whole life and we learn to believe things about ourselves, and the cross says something totally different.
Amen.
The cross says your life is worth living. You're not a mistake, you're not a failure, you're not born out of due time, you're not an accident, life comes from God, He's the author and giver of life, there's a time to be born, and here you are, let's get it on. I pay to redeem your life and get you back on purpose.
Yeah. Amen.
And any other response is unbelief coupled with pride.
That's all.
You with me?
Yeah.
Sometimes we've learned to draw false attention to ourselves. We talk ourselves down because people then comment, oh, you're so awesome. And we just need to hear that on the surface rather than just believe that from Him.
Yeah.
Sometimes the highest grace we reduce ourselves to is the fact that it seems like somebody cares.
Wow.
And then you always live for that attention. You always live for that moment of care. And never just throw that thing off like an old garment and realize He loves you. And you don't need to live for some shallow
service. Amen.
Like an addictive behavior where you're just drawing attention to yourself.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm not being mean. I've pastored. I'm not judging people. I've learned this. People wear a long face on purpose when they come to church because they know the people around them are sensitive and they'll draw it to them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. You're never called to just receive ministry all your life. You're called to ministry.
Amen. Yeah.
You don't go to service to be loved. You go to be the love of the Lord.
Yeah.
Don't get tricked and say, well, I went to one accord. Well, anyway, I'm the one accord. But you know, I went to one accord with the guy called back and didn't see that loving. We should have been you with that. You see how this former mentality tests the atmosphere, and you come out thinking you're right and you're deceived, and then you tell four friends about the name of the church you visit and say it wasn't loving, and every time they hear the name of that church, they think about your testimony.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you think that's shining? The whole time you're a Christian, you got both hands raised because you appreciate the worship.
Well,
So when you lay it out, you see how deceived it is.
Yeah.
It's just man living by his own wisdom, by his own feelings, by his own ways, and incorporating language into his life that he hasn't understood to transform him.
That's it.
He makes all things new.
He does.
There's things that are on heart of warning. I'm just going to touch it since. I'm here to be a nice guy. I'm going to smile the whole time I'm talking about it, but I'm not conceiving of this. I'm on the I feel a topic coming up.
Amen.
It's all complaining. But it is unscriptural for a Christian to complain. I can show you two places in the Bible where a Christian never complains. It's not even in his life. Why? Because he loves not his own life unto death, and his life's not his own. He's living for the kingdom. He's seeking first the kingdom of God. You just don't complain. Why? Because it's not about you, it's about him, and complaining doesn't reveal his glory. Complaining reveals self-centeredness, displeasure, you're not satisfied, it ain't good enough for me, and I got issues. You're not multiplying life in the realm of complaining.
Amen.
Complaining sends a message to the enemy that you're going through the motions, but you're not completely surrendered. Complaining sends a message to the enemy that you have some levels of sacrifice and commitment, but you're not all in. I saw somebody's shirt. She said, all in. There it is, all in. I knew I saw your shirt. Said all in. See, but the enemy picks out and realizes you're not all in. And then all of a sudden you become a target, and he roams around along the royal line seeking. He's just seeking. He's looking for a loophole. He's looking for weakness. Oh, here's all the right language. He sees commitment. Wow, that was surrender. That was sacrifice. And then all of a sudden there's complaining. He says, oh, there's vulnerability. Man, they're surrendered in so many ways, but man, that runs them wrong, and they got a weak spot. Wow, they got a soft belly. I can get in there. Bang. And then after 3 hits, you say, why is God letting all this happen to me? He's not letting anything happen. You're vulnerable. You're positioned for it. Because you haven't dealt with your heart. You haven't walked out accountability. You haven't gotten rid of complaining. Paul said, uprightness in Corinthians 10 is an admonishment unto you that you do not complain like they did in the wilderness.
Yep.
And were destroyed by the destroyer, devoured by the very one who devours. Complain. What you do? It gives selfishness away. It reveals that you're not satisfied. But the standard you desire is to live up to, and you have complaint. Christians are very important in this arena. You'll get the right food service. You're paying a lot for your meal. How you respond to that. You don't get the room that you were expecting. You hooked up the way you handle it. I remember going into a hotel. See, this is how you reach people. And a lot of people fall off their chairs when they hear this stuff because they're like, what? But I bet you Jesus would rock the world.
Yeah.
So why isn't Jesus in us rocking the world?
Come on.
Wonder if we sell so cheap and don't even realize it. Wonder if we expect excellence all the time towards us and our money's worth and what we're paying for. We ain't tipping big because you didn't deserve it. If a waitress spills, knocks over a cup on the table we're at, we give her at least $100. At least. Yeah. If she knocks over a cup. And then we grab her hand and tell her, listen. And we minister to her and fill her up and make sure she's not on eggshells and living under pressure. Because she made a mistake like we all make. But she's under a microscope. She's got pressure on her. And people are paying good money for good food and good service. And if she ain't good service, bam, that's trouble. Yeah. I remember a waitress brought us the wrong food. We ordered she made two mistakes on food. And then she took the cup and it fell on the leg of a lady, and her leg was soaking wet. All in a 5-7 minute period. That poor girl shook, and we said, it's okay, honey. When she brought the wrong food, it's okay. If it's possible, you did this to the right table. And then she was frazzled, and she turned because she was frazzled. She lost concentration. She turned. She bumped the cup in the back of her head, knocked it on the leg of the lady. So she screamed, cried, and ran in the bathroom. The waitress.
Oh.
And the lady that was wet ran and got in there and just held her in the
arms.
Just rocked her and held her and prayed over her and told her she's amazing. And all you did was make a mistake. We all might go for a cup.
Amen.
We just did it in an arena where it's so focused on. Come on, no one's holding you to perfection. you, we love you. She's great. She brought her out to our table, and we all told her we loved her, and you hold it together, girl, and we all just prayed over her. And she was just, you are the nicest people I think I ever met in my life. And she was just freaked out. And we just told her, man, we are way too free to get bothered over our wrong food. This isn't what I ordered. You know, this isn't quite hot enough. I need you to take it back. Even if you do need to get something heated up because it's unacceptable, why are we moody?
Yeah.
Why is our tone disgruntled?
Yeah.
It gives us away.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden, there's zero light about us.
Yeah.
That's what the minister doing. He's doing this conference, and everybody's excited about his anointing, and everybody wants impartation, and we're in a restaurant, and he scolded a young lady for an unidentifiable speck in the top of his suit and demanded a new bowl. Mm-hmm. I'm the wrong fellow to sit with at lunch and do that to because I love people and you way too much to let you live in that hypocrisy, that delusion.
Yeah.
To degrade a young woman who's not even responsible for a speck in a bowl of soup, cut me a break. Jesus died and shed his blood for the absolute sins you committed.
Yeah.
You're going to degrade a human being for a speck in your soup. It's not going to happen with me at the table. You're either going to punch me, get mad at me, or repent and cry. It's going to be one or the other, and your heart will be revealed. You'll either be repentant or unrepentant, but you're not going to not hear about it. And I'll do it with tears, and I'll do it because I'm breaking for you that you have the capacity to preach the kingdom and make a little girl uncomfortable over a speck in soup.
Wow.
Not going to happen. I'm going to call you on it. Yeah?
Yeah?
When we left that table where that lady get the wrong food and knocked the cup on our friend's leg, I said, do you all have extra monies in your pockets? Anybody? I said, I mean, we can work this out. I can cover it on even a ministry card, but I want to bless her and make a statement. If we could all pitch in, it'll be a corporate statement that we love her and care about her. We'll write her a little note in the secret. Everybody's pitched in the middle. I mean, it was like we took an offering. It was pretty serious. It was a lot of money on the table. And then we just wrote her a sweet little note, wrapped it all up in the middle, and closed it in that little book.
Yeah.
And then we all snuck out. I bet that makes a statement.
Yes.
Because you ain't even standing there watching and waiting. You're gone.
Yeah.
Ain't that something? I was in IHOP with some friends late, and I was just sitting chilling. I think I got a little drink or something. So they were all eating like mega meals. I was like, I'm going to skip out of this. It's 1 in the morning. We got pancakes set to heaven. It's not like if I got on the top of pancakes, I'd be closer to the Lord. This one little girl, she had said, are you going to eat that? She said, everybody. The swingers come by, we're all talking and laughing, they're asking questions, and the one side of the table just was looking, and they went, like that? And I said, what? And I looked, I had, you know how they butter the pancakes and they put all the whipped topping and they had a little cherry on the side? It slid off the pancakes and was sitting on my shoulder like that. They're just like a little buddy just sitting there. I looked at this whipped cream and the cherry right on the floor. It was so funny. I said, whoa. I did it on purpose because I knew the waitress was going to be freaked out. So you just chuckle with lightheartedness.
Yeah.
She said, oh my goodness, your shirt. I'm so sorry. I said, honey, it's a shirt. It's just quite good. And she said, oh my goodness. So she came. And when it was time to bill us, she told us the food was free because now who knows that money's coming out of the picture?
Yeah.
We said, there ain't no way. Every one of us is paying free meal, and if you tell us no, we'll probably pay double. We just had a fit with her. We were like, man, she did the same thing. She cried. Two girls prayed with her. I said, honey, whipped cream slipped off a pancake and went over my shoulder. Whoopee! It's amazing how all people get by stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Will you ruin my shirt? You're accountable. Get my attorney, liabilities, pain and suffering. I can't find another shirt like that. I'm going to be a little extreme, but not too much.
Not too much.
Okay.
We should be the most loving, understanding, easygoing, full of joy, overwhelmed with blessing and love, no matter what your performance looks like.
Hallelujah.
We should be known in the earth
as
people of true freedom.
Yes. Amen.
Singing I'm free all day in the service has nothing to do with nothing.
That's right.
Yeah. How you handle your life in front of people when they ain't handling life well will reveal if you're free.
Amen.
Not be mean, I'll just be a realist this morning. Because anything else is going to be religious. Don't be condemned by what I'm saying. Be challenged.
That's right.
Be so. Because I feel a little uncomfortable in the room right now. I do. I feel a few folks a little uncomfortable. Nobody's judging you. Nobody's saying you're a basket case. You might as well give up. No, no, no. There's a higher response. Stop calling what you've been normal and acceptable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Could you imagine what Jesus would be like?
Wow.
Is somebody brought him the wrong food? He just asked how many like this platter probably multiplied and feed him.
Yeah.
But honestly, could you imagine what Jesus would be like if somebody bought a drink and it fell on his garment? Do you think that would ruin his morning? Do you think that he would hold that accountable?
Nope.
Here's what I know. Everyone in this room at some level has known you do right and hasn't done it.
Right.
And he has nothing but love for you and gave his life for you and his blood spirit. That says it all about King Jesus.
Yes, it does.
And that's why I love him so much.
Me too. Yeah.
Yay.
Yay.
So let me get back to something. You're not going to live that way because you heard me preach about it.
Nope.
And you felt challenged and convicted.
Right.
You don't go out and do this message.
Right.
You become this
message. That's right.
Yes.
And the way you become it, and the only way you become it, is time spent with him, yielding, submitting, praying, just laying on your bed, chill, got some soft piano playing, and you feel like you need to be in more of a hurry, but you're just taking a vital moment in the beginning of your day to just keep your heart aligned to him. Wow, you're so good. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. You know why it's so important to believe you're completely forgiven? So you start looking through forgiveness.
That's good. Yeah.
People that have a hard time with unforgiveness have never tasted the beauty of being clean. They still hold themselves accountable for their own faults. They haven't received forgiveness. There's nobody that could receive the joy of true forgiveness and not be overwhelmed with a heart to forgive. When you know that you know that you know that he's forgiven you of everything you've ever done. And he will never mention it in his presence. When you know that, how can you not forgive somebody their trespass?
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yep.
He teaches you to live in his mindset. He teaches you to live in his heart when you receive who he is towards you. That's why so many people struggle receiving his love. There's strategies and attacks and mindsets. That's why so many people live in secret condemnation, don't have a high regard for their own life and existence. That's why so many people have low esteem. Because they're weighing their value based on their own performance, their own memory, and their own history. Not their created value, their purpose, and God's intention. So they never separate the two and step out of this and put on this new garment called righteousness. Are you with me?
Yeah. Come on.
Guilt, condemnation, and shame are the three biggest tools I see used of the enemy in people's minds and hearts. They're never used by God. They're never in this tool belt. Guilt, condemnation, and shame are never, ever, 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 ever used by God or subcontracted out by God.
No.
How can convinced the short. Scripture teaches me that.
That's right.
He said, I didn't come to condemn you. I came that you might be saved.
Yes.
But you're going to have my word that will judge you in that day. John 12, it's right there. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
There is now, therefore, no if you're completely forgiven of everything you've ever done and cleansed of all unrighteousness, how can guilt be a component of the kingdom? Because guilt is saying, I'm not forgiven.
That's right.
Yeah. If you're guilty, you're guilty.
Yeah.
Are you guilty if you're justified? Are you guilty if you're forgiven of everything you've ever done? Are you guilty if you're washed in the blood?
No.
If your sin is red as scarlet, it's now your white as snow. Are you guilty?
No.
Okay. So shame. What is shame? Shame is believing you are still what you're ashamed of. That's still who you are. Is there anybody in this room who can bear witness to this? You've grown in Christ, you've got a revelation, there's things that have changed in your life in the last months, years, and there's things that if you could go back and have a shot at doing over, your changes would look different in the past because of what you see today. You feel like and believe you're a different person, you respond different, and you do different than you did yesterday.
Yes.
Okay. Isn't it amazing that people that can raise their hand are still ashamed of those things and don't even like to think about it because they're still ashamed of those things when the truth is it's not even who they are at all, right?
Right.
Amen. Think that's so good. Whoa! You better discipline me. If you go back and change, then are you the person we've been talking about, or have you changed?
Yes.
See, here's the truth. You can never go back and rewrite
right.
words. You can never retract words.
No.
Look, if you know, if you crawled in the bed, you can't crawl back out if you were already there. If you did this, if you stole that, you can't put it. If 5 years later, you can't change that night.
But you can change.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah. Right.
You were rebellious, you knew not to go, you knew not to go, but you went.
Yeah.
And he created something, and you feel like you're still somehow paying the price for it, and regret just wants to eat you alive all the time, but your heart is sorry. And if you had a chance to go back and do that night over, there ain't no way you would go because of what you see and understand now. See? So regret's your only response if it's the world's way that will eat you alive and bring death, it says.
That's right.
Godly sorrow leads to repentance, and there's a vindication of yourself, a clearing of yourself, a freedom in that.
Yes.
So can you ever change where you've been and what you've done? Absolutely not. So if there wasn't the gospel, all you could do is regret and feel sad for the sorry decision you made.
Right.
But because there's the gospel, you can change.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, when you change and you realize, whoa, and if you could go back and do it over, you sure would. And then you learned a painful lesson, but you've learned a lesson nonetheless, and it brought you out smarter, wiser, sharper, and brighter. And man, you've received the mercy and love of God.
Amen.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, God Himself, through Scripture, reveals He will never judge you for where you've been. He will judge you for what you've become.
Amen.
So now you have a right to stand before Him and receive from Him because you're not who you were. You're who He is molding you and shaping you.
Amen.
You're a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things became new. You're an unveiled bride. And you can stand in His presence.
Amen.
The one, this is important to understand. Guilt, condemnation, and shame are the three major tools used against Christians in their mind to keep them from this glorious life-changing truth.
Amen. Right.
Amen.
Because you're not going to shine, and you're not going to continue to walk in the light if you don't continue to walk in His truth. If you don't start where He finished, you'll never run well. You'll be caught in works. You'll try to accomplish something He already did. In your heart, you'll think you're failing. You'll take your own tests and grade them, and He didn't even lay the test for the day.
That's great.
You know how many people take their own test and grade them?
Yeah.
And he never even said today's a test. Come on, he just says, love you. And then you look at your own test results, and then it doesn't raise up your soul and excite your heart. That's when you can tell you're deceived. Because he came to give you life and life more abundantly. He isn't sitting there going, I just can't believe you're not doing that. I mean, what do we think? We wake up in the morning and God's just covering up our bed like, really? Come on! While you were yet a sinner.
Yeah.
I think we forget this. Like, while you were yet a sinner. It says, how much more in Romans 5 will you be saved from wrath through him now that he lives? Oh! It'd be one thing if the Bible says, for God, what's the Bible say in John 3:16? Everybody knows this one. For God so. Okay, it would be a different story if it said, for God was so exasperated with sin and frustrated with humanity that he finally sent his son. That would be different. But it doesn't say that. For God so. And what's love? Doesn't seek its own. That's why God's not sitting there going, I just can't believe they're doing this to me. I just can't believe they're putting me through this again and again and again and again. How long to myself? How long? Oh, myself. How long? Gene calling the archangels over to just pray for him and build him up because it's one of those days. What is it, Lord? I don't see the earth. It's God. The earth, God. Yes. I love using those illustrations. They sound so corny and silly. Because we know better of God. But isn't it amazing he made us for his image? And he said, as he is, so are we in the world. The things I do, you do. If you believe in predestined, be conformed to the image of the Son. The things I do, you'll do. If you believe. So they sound so corny and funny when you put it in God, but when you put those words in our mouth, somehow they sound acceptable because we come from a different view than we. We see who God is all through his word, but we know we need that, and we've been trained in a lie. So when we put us in that, all of a sudden it's acceptable to have that attitude, but it sounds hilarious if you try to put it over on. That's the best barometer you can have for your life. If you can't take the way you're thinking, feeling, believing, talking, and put it in the mouth of God and make it fit, well, then it should never be in your mouth.
Amen.
Because how are you shining and modeling him if you can never fit in his mouth where your heart's coming from? Are you with me?
Yes.
So he is truly our barometer. He is the light of the world.
Yes, he is.
And because he's the light of the world, we deal with him and he lives in us. He turned the tables on us in 95 and said, you're the light of the world. Oh, Ted, you're it.
Yeah. Mom.
I'm going to go be with the Father. If I'm going to send a helper, he'll be in you with you. You're going to be the light of the world.
Amen.
Wow. And you're going to handle the baton of the new covenant, new testament church and go
shine.
Amen. In my name.
Amen.
And you take that thing and you run. You run the race worthy of a prize. And you run and don't grow weary. Yeah. Paul said he's going to run. He hasn't apprehended. He hasn't arrived yet. He's going to lay a hold. Philippians 3, it's there. He's going to lay a hold of that which Jesus laid a hold of him for. You hear that Jesus has intention in obtaining you? That he had purpose in saving you, and it's way deeper than going to a destination someday that you signed up for.
Yeah.
Going to lay a hold of that which he laid a hold of me for. In other words, I'm going to walk out the intention of the Lord.
Amen.
The purpose of God inviting me. Come on.
Yeah.
You buy the nicest pair of shoes you've ever seen in your life, but until you put them on your feet, they ain't walking in purpose.
Yes.
Anybody need a guitar player? You get like a beast guitar, man, like the guitar of your dreams, and then you polish it and sit it in a glass case and you play. Oh, that guitar, you need a guitar. Till you start working it. Right? A piano has no purpose till you touch those keys. That's why so many people live void, and no joy, and no consistency, because they're not living a purpose every day, and they're getting caught up in everyday life and mentalities and things, and they're not shining like they're created to. Mercy woke you up today. Mercy gave you another day.
That's right.
To be more like your father. Mercy just gave you one more day to be like him. If I had preached just growing up, they would have been the devil ones on my head and cast me out of the church. Because we have proven we're just evil, wicked, untrustable, nasty flesh. And we had 1,000 Old Testament scriptures of men bound under sin with no salvation. They need no blood to speak. They quoted all the scriptures to qualify their sin. And this, the finished work of the cross.
Right.
The whole work of the cross is not to get you to heaven. It's to get you out of the lie, so you can walk in the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
It's to get that thing that Adam did off of you.
Yeah.
And get that thing that Jesus did all over you.
Amen. Yeah.
It's time to change clothes.
Yes.
You got a garment that was so tailor-made for you. If you'd see me in my dress, I'd look so good.
Yeah.
That thing just broke. See my little on that boots. He says, Father, I love him. He's awesome. You met him that way? Yeah. See, nobody told me I could be that free and actually be loved by God like that and actually believe the cross was the love of God towards me.
Mm.
And take it personal and let it transform my life. Somehow it was like we were supposed to pray it and believe it, but you still got to get real, brother. You got fish gravity. You're going to have to go through your sin issues. You got to hold on tight and get through the hell to make it to heaven. Come on, anybody pass that mentality to you growing up?
No, yeah.
No, now I learned to write my legacy.
Come on, right.
And sow as many seeds as possible to get the biggest harvest that we can.
Yes.
But I'm walking a lot of this season like men are going to see our lives with and glorify the Father.
Yes.
They're going to know He's God because they saw Him in our eyes, they saw Him in our motives, they saw Him in the big tip, and the joy in our face when the blood was wet and the food was strong. They ain't seen Him.
Amen.
Yeah. 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 Many times in my personal life, I don't talk about it in Sundays. It's not just about me, and I don't talk about it much. But you know, many times in my personal life, people that had no idea who I was after something took place, an encounter, stepped in, got involved, prayed, whatever, have never met anybody like you. That is not a good testimony.
That's right.
Because there's Christians everywhere.
Right.
And they can reproduce Christians to church attendance, to church kind of attendance, instead of Christ likeness, what it means. Christians, little Christ like ones.
Yes.
I mean, there's people out there that don't want to be called Christians, and then I'm not saying that's the healthy approach. They're like, they don't want to use the word Christian because Christian has been so hard.
Yeah.
I mean, the best thing we can do is bumper stickers that are not perfect, just forgiven. The world calls that hypocrisy anyway. They're like, whatever, they just got a doctrine. They're just leaning on a crutch.
Yeah.
Not perfect, just forgiven. Hey, you want to join the club? Not perfect, just forgiven. What about becoming love?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about seeing that you're complete in Christ? Be perfect as your Father's perfect. Your word's complete. You're complete in Christ. You're complete. You're fulfilled in Him. You're complete in Colossians 2. Don't let anyone take you captive, hold you prisoner with empty deceit, traditions of the world, basic principle of life, philosophy. It says, and not according to Christ.
Yeah.
So you find yourself in Christ. Anything else is a lie. Yourself, your life, your destiny, your purpose, short. Look at that with me. Go to Colossians. This is amazing. I want you to see this. I'm notorious for just quoting scripture because it's in my heart, and I can quote it all day long and tie it all together. And if you listen to the tape, I didn't do any injustice to any scripture. But why don't we just look at this? Colossians chapter 2. We'll make the meeting legal. Somebody will appreciate that. I'm reading that. I just know how folks are. Can you find it out of the Bible? I've been quoting it nonstop. In fact, you better fill your heart, guys. I'm not saying that in some legalistic way. It will be profitable to fill your heart with God's word.
Amen.
Not because it's your daily devotion and your Christian duty. Why would you fill your heart with this word if you believe it's the truth? How will you discern a lie if you're not filled with truth?
Amen.
How will your feelings ever get realigned and the redemption and salvation of your soul ever take place to where selfishness isn't driving your life and actually surrender is driving your life? Because every emotional expression you and I are familiar with has come from a self-centered wellspring. You don't have to practice to be angry. You didn't have to train to feel insecure.
Right. That's good.
It just came with a package called the fall of man.
That's right.
I teach on faith versus feelings, and people usually get tricked into saying, well, brother, I mean, we all have emotions. God gave us emotions. No, no, no. God did not give you the emotions you grew up with. Adam gave you those. You got to get born again.
Yeah.
Yes.
The emotions you grew up with all came out of a self-centered wellspring.
Yeah.
And the way the craziness of our emotions, you can't pin that on God, and you can't find that in Him.
Right.
That would be Jesus. Oh my goodness. That would be Jesus. Like early in the morning. Just early in the morning. And just hanging out on a rock on the Mount of Olives. People go, hey, Lord, good morning. Hey, you're up. And there's no question. Are you okay, Lord? What's the matter?
I'll be fine. Just, I don't know, man. I'm just
not feeling it today. It's like, I don't know. I've been thinking, Peter. I mean, put yourself in my shoes for a minute. I do good. I do good. Every day I do good. And people are always trying to find what's wrong with me. They say terrible things. And remember that little boy we got here? Yeah, it was cool. Yeah. But you know what they say? They're like, I'm a demon-possessed man. I mean, I feed their bellies. They got a book. I raised Lazarus. I don't want to kill him until he gets me. It's like, they never say, I'm just a bum, man. I just don't think people appreciate me. They don't appreciate who I am. They don't even know my words. And God lets me hear their thoughts. I wish you wouldn't, because their thoughts aren't gold. But what are you going to do, Lord?
I don't know, man. I
feel like this is a hangout day. I'm not up for it. I'm not going out there to get flogged by a bunch of insincere people who don't appreciate my heart. I'm just not.
Yeah, you're right.
You know why you'll never find that in Him? It never was in Him from the beginning.
Right, right, right.
Because He's love. The only reason that's been in us, because we were born outside of Him, even though we were created through Him. Nothing was made that was made through Him, but we were born outside of Him. And we were born into Adam, but Adam became through sin and separation. So all you and I have done is separation with no identity. There's not one of us in this room that had a clue who we were when we were toddlers. We became a product of our surroundings and we evolved. We evolved through life, and at a very young age, with nothing more than however we responded, however it unfolded.
That's right.
And that became our story.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And that's why people cover their past, whether it's good or bad.
Good.
And then don't talk about anything but how it was. Why? Because it's the only place they ever felt in the sense of identity, because they have none.
Amen.
Yeah.
Did you ever notice how people want to go yesterday?
Yes.
You can preach a sermon and people say, yeah, but brother, I mean, that sounds great, but you don't understand. My situation's different. You do not know what it was like when I was growing up. And they're like 50 years old.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that?
Yeah,
sure. It's tragedy. Yeah. It's because they're only relating, the only sense of identity they have is their story.
Yeah.
And their story becomes their justification for whatever they are now, whether it's good or bad, and they lock into it, and it justifies and assures that every day will be yesterday. And at best, Christians say, well, you need to deliver. No, it's not a deliverance prayer. It's truth that makes you free.
That's right. Yeah.
It's truth that makes you free.
Thank you.
What does it matter that my dad was an alcoholic? He never said, I love you growing up. In that season, it mattered. I'm 57. What's it matter?
Yeah.
He's a dry cup. He doesn't know who he is. If he knew who he was, he would have been an alcoholic anyway.
Right.
But he's an alcoholic. He has nothing to give. So if I have to try to find my identity through him, and he's my natural dad, and my dad should be this, this, and this, but he's not. Now I have a deficit, and I have needs. Now I'm a product of what he isn't. So now I'm trying to drink out of a dry cup. Of course I'm thirsty. So now because I'm thirsty, now I'm trying to drink other places. And then I go up into this woman and says, you know, if you had asked me, I would have gave you a drink.
Yes, yes.
I would have gave you a drink of living water.
Yeah, man!
And you know what? One drink, and you can never thirst again.
Hallelujah.
That's what he's talking about, identity. Just one drink, you find out who you are in me. And all that longing and yearning would disappear, and you would never have to go back and relive the horror and the insecurity and the unsaid and the things and retract and all the You would just say, man, if people in my history would have knew who they were, they wouldn't have done what they did. If they saw who I was, they wouldn't have treated me that way.
Amen.
So was I really touched wrong when I was 4, or was I touched right when I was 33?
Yes.
This touch greater than that touch. Is what he said greater than what they said or never said? I think I'm going to let him be Lord.
Yeah.
See, because when you look at him, you can't tell my dad was an alcoholic and never said, I love you. You can't tell that my mom was sick for 40 years that I changed her diapers and carried her to bed and watched her pass. You can't tell that my child did drugs and ran off and my daughter made bad mistakes. My wife was in identity crisis for 8 years of my Christian life and wouldn't even come to church and wanted to die. You can't see any of that.
Amen.
Why? Because none of that has a thing to do with who I am.
Amen! Yeah!
None of that has a thing to do with why I wake up every day.
Yes.
You see, you mean you were like that in the middle of all that stuff? You can ask the people that knew me all the time. Some of them say, I might have been worse. Why? Because I'm holding on to you?
Yeah.
Because I wake up every day and nobody owes me a thing. I run that through my heart every day. And my son's out there and he doesn't even want to call. He doesn't want to, because my life is a conviction and he's in rebellion. He's not in rebellion because I'm preaching one thing and doing another behind the scenes. He's in rebellion because he's believing lies. He's feeling like my life is a pressure instead of a blessing. People are expecting of him. Well, many people in the church will come up and say, and call a prophecy. You're going to do so much more than your dad. His ceiling is your floor. You're going to have 3 times the fruit of your dad ever. And God's going to send you places your dad never. And he's going to so far anoint you far above. And my son starts thinking, man, people are expecting a lot out of me, and I don't have any of this in my heart.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's resenting me because now my life is controlling his. And I told him 1,000 times over, son, you are not pressured by me, by the Lord, by people, by nobody. People are well-meaning, but they're not here most of the time.
That's right.
You're not under pressure, and it produces that it's deception. It's trying to rob your heart, take you places that you never called to go. You just be the best you. You get to know Jesus, walk in fellowship with Jesus, have a relationship with him, and be the best you, buddy. Nobody is expecting anything of you. You go get to know him and find yourself in him.
There you go.
Your life will make sense in the end.
There you go.
I told him that 1,000 times over, but guess what he followed? Frustration, rebellion, a spin in mind, and friends that mock him and laugh as he's passed before. Oh, that's right, you can't do that. You're the pastor's son. Oh, that's right. You see, if he had a relationship with Jesus, he'd say, oh, it has nothing to do with being the pastor's son. It has to do with what lives inside of me. Look at his eyes, he'll freak out because he'll be right there. He'll be right there.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it'll be all of you disobeying from the call. No, if you get a relationship with Jesus, everything's trying to rob you from knowing him.
Yeah,
yes,
right.
Yes, yeah.
Everything's trying to get you to just lean on doctrine and scripture and background and inheritance and keep you from knowing him. Because when you know him, there's no way around it. His friends would have said that, he looked him right in the eyes and said, "Dad, it has nothing to do with who my dad is.
Yeah.
It has to do with the one that's living inside me. He's real."
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, that one inside of him would have been looking right out through him.
Yeah.
Countless times I've been in public, countless times I'm sitting on airplanes and I get talking and passionate and something happens. I feel it come in my face. And so the Holy Ghost, someone comes on me like an idiot and he just wants to go. It's just, it's like, we're sitting on a plane and they go, "Ooh." I couldn't even get this one lady to recover. She's, and I'm like, "Lord, this is good." It looks like she just went through a haunted house or something. And I'm like, "This just doesn't look good. She looks scared." Like, and I don't want her to be scared. So I tap her and I'm trying to pull her like, "Hey." And I said, "Are you okay? I didn't mean to." No. I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "I feel like I'm talking to God." And I said, "You are." And it's inside of me. He's the one that showed me these things. I couldn't know these things as a man.
That's right.
You are talking to him. This is for me.
Yeah.
Overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But she looked up in my eyes, saw him.
Yeah. That's right. Amen.
But it was a good.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
When that short bitch just being frustrated on the flight, bothered by your seat. Baby two rows back, you won't stop crying, and all of a sudden you're just thin-skinned and everything's moving you the truth. Now you got all this opportunity to shine and the switch is off.
Ooh.
Amen.
Whew, that's convicting.
Yeah, it is. It's good, though. It's good.
All these dark rooms around you that are crying out for light, people groping for the switch.
Amen.
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 And you're the switch. That's your light, so
shine.
Yay!
Yay!
I love the accomplishments. I'm just glad I used to want to do it. These services are a journey for me. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? You think you have an idea to get up here? Choosing not your idea. Is this all for you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm not looking for some weird, make sense of approval, clap your hands. Is this making sense for your everyday life?
Yeah.
Now watch, everything we're talking about will not be lived consistently apart from relationship and knowing him.
That's
right.
And going back to the beginning, this is not something you do. This is something you become.
That's
it. So how's that look? You're sitting at home, you just shut things off for a while. I'm not against all this technology and stuff. I'm just saying, don't think you're as busy as you think you are sometimes.
Right.
Just because you haven't checked your Facebook and it's so much to go through and now it takes an hour, might not be the most pressing thing right in the moment.
Yeah.
I'm not coming against Facebook. What I'm saying is we let things buy our time.
Right.
We have learned to live super occupied.
Yes.
We fill space and time. We always have to have music going in the car. We got to have something going on.
Earbuds in non-stop.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's good.
Yeah.
When do you just shut everything down? Not be distracted and just open up to him.
Ooh.
And just really, just live that way. Where you spend vital time, you just wake up in the morning, you just lie in your bed, your honey's already off to work, or your spouse is down in the kitchen, or might just be laying there. Still sleeping. Don't be rude. Slip out if you need to, or just slide up and just open up your heart. You don't have to get loud. You just want what another day, what another. Here I am awake another day.
Yeah.
God, I just thank you for aligning my heart and just teaching me why I'm alive. You are so in me, and I'm so sure of that.
Yeah.
Man, life is a gift. And I so appreciate your unstoppable love for me.
Thank you.
God, the way you love me, you love everybody that's around me. Everybody my eyes behold today, you paid the same price for. There's not one person that's not worth the blood.
Amen.
God, I thank you. Nobody has the ability to get under my skin and give me new skin. Nobody has the ability to frustrate me. I'm not living in the old way. I'm living in the new.
Yeah.
I thank you. There is new wine in this new wine skin.
Amen.
Yeah.
Why don't you just start talking like that to the Lord? Then you just actually start believing what you're saying.
Yeah.
Why don't you actually just start thinking it's true? Yeah?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, grace starts flooding your faith.
Yeah.
That grace is God's empowerment. Grace is God's ability. Grace is what God brings to make you what you couldn't be on your own.
Yes.
Take you into another realm in the world, not of it. You're saved by
grace.
Through
faith.
You're believing it sincerely. So when you're sitting there on your bed doing that, you're one of two things. You're either out of your mind and he ain't real and you want to get a hobby. Or it is all true and he is real and he's making you that.
Yes.
And something's happening because of that.
Yes.
It's one or the other. I love that. He's either real or he isn't. He's either in the room or you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
I love those odds. Like there's nothing in between.
Yeah.
He is or he isn't. He sees you that way or he doesn't.
That's right.
You're in or you're not.
Right.
Oh my goodness.
You just go in the room, you just be wherever you are. You're in the kitchen, you're with them breakfast, you got 3-4 children. You're even more productive. You have 6. And your hubby's in the shower, and you're just flipping the pancakes, and you've got 5 things going at once in that kitchen. But there's joy in your heart. Why? Because you woke up and you're his way before your wife. You're his way before your mom. You're his way before you look at the plate called your day. Come on. Because all of a sudden, we give ourselves permission to be something less, and we come home from work, and you touch your spouse wrong. Look, I'm sorry, you just don't know the day I've had. And if you were in my shoes, you'd understand this. And all of a sudden, you're trying to buy permission for them to be a soundboard, and you can carry things in your heart that are never in his.
That's right.
Am I preaching perfection right now? No. I'm saying take accountability for your own life and always look at what's coming out of your life to others. And don't get so familiar with your spouse that you expect them to be your vetting board.
That's right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Come on,
how much have we done this to each other? How much have wives gotten trapped into this? They get a little frustrated. They're doing a second load of laundry in the morning, and then they got one more half load, and the next morning there's a whole other load, and it's like, it's just, all I do is wash. It's just wash, 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 wash. I'm into this washing machine. And all of a sudden there's this thing that's in the dye, and all of a sudden they don't even have appreciation when they see their children are a little frustrated, they're short with their spouse on the way to work, and all of a sudden it's just because they're overwhelmed by things and all they have to do, and all of a sudden they're getting involved into this and they're forgetting the privilege of who they are in the moment and shining.
Yep.
The Bible says everything you do, whatever you do, whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever you do, do it all to the
Lord.
How do you do 3 loads of laundry in the morning and have another one by evening?
And do it to the glory of God.
Well, attitude has a lot to do with it.
Yes.
Because if all of a sudden you just load that other load, and you're thinking, no, why? Your husband's working a 12-hour day on a hot roof anyway, and he's running the risk. Because all of a sudden, he's wondering if his family can appreciate what he's going through and how hot it is and what he has to do to earn a living and keep him in that home that he's paying for. I know how that stuff worked on me when I wasn't saved. I was so self-centered, and I needed everybody to honor me. I wanted everybody, even my young kids, I expected them they were young, and somehow they appreciated what I had to do to keep the boat on the water. I was calling everybody on everything that didn't appreciate me. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So believe me, I'm talking from both sides of this thing. So what do you do when you're on that hot roof? Well, Father, I know I got 3 applications in, and I'm looking for opportunity here or there, but man, the income's working right now. This is brutal. I'm a little tired of the sun, but man, you surround me with men that don't know you. What a privilege to live in an attitude, yeah, walk in a place where my life matters and makes a difference.
Man.
I'm far from a roofer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on. Roofing is a simple tool. You put the finances on my, in my account and put them on my table, but man, I am far from a roofer.
Amen.
That's your beach driving in the truck every morning. You're throwing four letter bombs out and talking and da da da, and you're sitting there feeling overwhelmed, and I need a Christian job.
Pray for me that I get a Christian job. Christian atmosphere.
No, I'm not praying that. I pray God keeps you there.
Yeah.
Until you get a revelation and shine. Wouldn't it be a nation you just carry a different attitude to work and you don't have much of a voice, and men you're working with are overbearing, and it seems like it's moving slow, but man, it's moving.
Right.
And all of a sudden, in 4 months, you've painted a picture of what a man could look like.
Yeah.
They're bothered by it, they've mocked you, they're scared, they've teamed up with you two or three or four times.
Yeah.
But there ain't nothing they can actually accuse you of or point out in your life that is wouldn't be negative or not cool.
Right.
And all of a sudden, their wheels are spinning and God is moving because you've been sowing seed that whole time.
Yeah.
Because he's just walking in love and staying thankful and no complaining. You're not coming across holier than thou and self righteous. And all of a sudden, your life's attractive to people that didn't believe.
Yeah.
I can tell you so many stories about the workplace. Just living in consistency, just going in there with the right reason every day and being the own steward of my own heart.
Yeah.
Just going to work and doing my work unto the Lord and walking in love.
Yeah.
Yes, He loved me. It's phenomenal what happens in there. Because you're with those guys a lot, you're with those girls a lot.
Yeah.
If you're not careful, you're going to church, you're doing the church thing, you're serving the ministry, but you're caught up in the complaining, you just ran down the boss, you didn't even realize you did it, because when they said it, you said, yeah, I know, you test me a little too sometimes, and all of a sudden, you have nothing, you're just screaming. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, church like this, the biggest trap to people is, oh, brother, come on, that's too extreme, we got to keep it real, everybody's going to do that at times, we all, blah, 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 no, that's why you all. Don't say we all.
Yeah.
You know, people say, well, everybody's going to have their moments, brother. What are you trying to justify? No, that means you're going to have yours, and you're setting the table for it. So when you have it, there's no conviction because you say everybody's going to have that. So now there's not going to ever be a change.
Right.
Are you following me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Marriage is a notorious fact. If you talk about marriages, God would do a thing on marriages, people would say, tend to say, brother, I mean, everybody's going to have their moments. Stop. I don't even want you to even think that has to begin your thinking and call that humility. You're just setting yours. That's why you have yours. Wonder if you actually start declaring in prayer and get along with Jesus Christ saying, wow, Father, I think the only moments I have to have is just moments in you.
Yes.
That I can all see my wife, my family, in your life. God, I just appreciate it. All of a sudden, you have this going so viral that this looks so different.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See, and then you got me, you know, I'm not preaching myself. I don't want you to be compared to me or condemned by me. I want you to be inspired. Some testimonies you can hardly share because of the way people hear it. They say, well, count me out. Or response to clients and others, I say, well, you ain't never done nothing for me. Or you teach them you haven't been negative towards your wife or something, and somebody was negative this morning on the way to the service. And then when you use it as an example, they get judged by what you're saying, and the spouse buys into it. Oh, well, I'm a little nervous. And they just break me in the car right before we walk in. And now they're still a little touchy because of it, and they're still a little slightly hurt because of it. Now you got to go keep going. You got fire feeding fire. Then you pray for your spouse to change your own life. You're throwing dry wood on the thing. God, would you please put this thing out? God, would you put this fire out? Would you change the Lord? Well, they started. Why wouldn't you stay there? You ever hear all that? Well, look, I realize I've been the best, but if you knew what I was looking like and how much I was going to be exonerated, you know, you just can't tell I've been in counseling appointments, right?
Yeah.
Don't even try to do that in counseling appointment. I will pull out this sword and choke me and smile while I'm cutting up your heart. I will. I'll just call you what love and what love really is. And I'll flip it on you and I'll say, wow, that's interesting. She wrote for that. Well, it's true. If you'd be honest, ask you. She'd be honest, ask you. They'll do that to each other. And they're like spilling the beans on each other. Nitpick, like, their stuff. You know what she said to me? She said this 2 days ago, Pastor. Perfect. Boom, 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 boom. And I said, okay, so she said that. Well, this is even in the room. I want to know why you're letting that hurt you so bad if she did say that. Well, not if she said that. She did. Okay, say she did. Say she said it worse. Why are you so wrong with what she said? And why is it affecting you today? Why is she the Lord and she's only wife? You have no relationship with Jesus. You're revealing. You have left the better part.
Yeah.
And you're letting your wife dictate your disposition and your deceit right now, friend. So I'm really not concerned about what she said. I'm concerned about why you're letting it affect you and affect you and why she's able to fashion your day.
Whoa.
That's all I have. So don't even try to call an appointment with me. If you're not really, really ready for change. Because it's not about you said, she said, I will never take sides. I stand on the side of truth. And I'm sorry people treat people the way they do, but I do get sad in meetings. And I wish people won't say the stuff they say because of where people are when that hurt and I'll forget. And you see the perversion of creative value?
Oh, yeah.
And the whole reason you're on the earth gets subverted because of self-centeredness. You could not vent on your spouse if even that self-centeredness is still alive.
Yes, yes.
If you were seeking first the kingdom of God, you couldn't live that way. See, you can't live that way. I wouldn't believe it's possible. This is where people, if they criticize me at all, this is where they don't criticize me. I wouldn't believe it's possible to follow him.
Yeah.
And I don't want to let our experience be my barometer. I want his life to be my barometer. Because I'm not following you, I'm following him. If I am following you, it's not actually following Christ. So why are we making our highest experience our highest potential? Why is he on the run? Why is he in the bar? So if you can't find him in his life, why is he acceptable in ours? If I can't see him in him, why do I see him in me? I should deal with that and not justify it. Well, if they want to, well, you don't know what. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Because if what I'm saying isn't true, then we all have a reason to be exactly where we're at. Our story matters more than the gospel. And we're all justified because of what I go through. So now we have to go around the room and everybody has to tell their heart story. And then we can determine who's been through the most trouble. We can't help them. We can just be sympathetic. And then we'll do this, worst hell, second worst hell, third worst. We say, you know, Johnny? Oh, yeah, Johnny, yeah. He's going to feel like the 6 months out in the whole church, man. He's got a rough story. I'm not being sensitive. I'm saying that's what we get reduced to. And all of a sudden, it's all about the hell we've been through, and then I'm trying to sing, it's all about heaven.
All right.
Amen. It's like we're trying to grab for this high hope because this is so. It's like, and then the world says we're just crushing up our soul, but, you know. Weak pledge. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
But what if your spouse was wrong this morning and you didn't live like you had done wrong? What if you just covered them in love? What if they got moody and you didn't get moody back? What if you diffused it? What if you turned down the kind word? What if you never repaid evil for evil? Rather than, you did that, see, you did it on purpose. You're always trying to get a rise out of me. I don't know why do you do that. That's just malicious. Now I'm going to church and I'm just still telling them, I don't even know if I want to go. That stuff happens in people's cars.
Because we're doing one thing, but we're crying out this way, but we're saying this is real. No, this isn't real. It doesn't have to be. Are you okay? You're okay?
Yeah. So
here's what I'm saying is this morning in my heart, in a nutshell this morning. It all boils down to what are you as an individual, and if you're married and children and family, or if you are a child, what are you personally going to do with this gospel and this in Christ to have a relationship and commune with God and allow grace to mold you and what you pay for? What are you going to do with this privilege, watch, apart from any other factor or decision of anybody in your life? Because only when you lock in there will you really walk out undistracted what you pay for. Are you going to let something matter more than what really matters most?
Yes.
And you're going to justify your decisions, and it won't be the truth in the end. Mm. And you're going to look into this fire and grass of love and go, oops. Because you see me in the light. So you're not going to look at him in that day and say, you know, I really don't know if it wasn't for myself. And I pray and pray that you hear me, why don't you change them? You won't even be able to think that, let alone utter it, looking into the light of the evening. You'll just go, oh, I was deceived.
Right.
Yep. Come on, who knows? You're not going to be able to talk like that in the light of this presence.
Amen, yeah.
Because you're going to say, why didn't you let that matter more than who I am? I love you. You're going to be glaring at me with that love. They can go, oh! I let something matter more. It's called idolatry. When you let something matter more than what matters most, it's called idolatry. We think idolatry is bowing down to a gold Buddha statue. Idolatry is letting something matter more than what matters most.
Amen. Yes.
Because that's the thing you serve. When you let matter more, it's when you let govern and dictate your life, disposition, and expression. And you know that by their fruit. So you're called to let your life so shine. So whatever's dictating, whatever's shining and coming out of you, that's what you're letting be the Lord of your life. That's what you're letting govern your life. Are you following me?
Yes.
So if you're not going to look in his eyes and say that in that day, because you realize when you use it as an example, you're going, yeah, that ain't going to fly. So if it's not going to fly in that day, why would you let it buy another day now? This is what faith's all about.
Yes.
Faith. What you really believe will crush all the feelings, will supersede all the reactions to justify faith. And all of a sudden you say, wait a minute, that's trivial, and I'm not buying it. And my pastor, I told a story about a time my pastor took the altar lady came, she wanted prayer. She built him up, you're a man of God, when you pray, God really moves. He was so anointed, she really built him up for this answer to prayer. And it was funny. He told me it was really cute. She wasn't being insincere, she was being sincere. And she was finding faith in that. So he said, what does he want me to pray for you? She said, it's my husband, he won't go to church, he's not a Christian. And he's just on his way. He just knows. He knows it's right. Oh, there she's going to have a pastor. She said, I'm on his way. He just knows exactly how to go. Oh, my God, he's just the right way. And I tell him he's doing it. I see he's doing it. And I'm like, why are you after him? And she's explaining this whole story. She said, so what are we praying? I just want you to pray that God will be to convince him to stop pushing my buttons and to stop doing this stuff for me like he does. And he's always turning your eyes on me. You may react, and I want to stop it, and I'm just praying that God will so much tell them to stop. My pastor's like, I have a better line of prayer. She said, really? What? He said, let's pray that you go by this. Do you understand what an unbeliever lets his house? Do you understand how uninspired they are? When you're forgive me, we do this. When we're nagging them to go to church, when we're making sure they know that we're not pleased, that they aren't with us, and they aren't going along, and then we don't represent anything life-giving, secure, or awesome this way, out of where we've been.
Right.
And all of a sudden, our whole goal is just that they go to church.
Yeah.
That's what happened to me just for a little season in my marriage. I just decided I was smart, you know. I thought, wow, is this easy? I told my wife I'll go to church. She was sad all the time and crying all the time. And there was nights I was off work and I was home. And I didn't want her sad and crying. I had other things on my mind. It's just the way a young man is. And it's not cool. And so I thought, okay, I gotta work this thing. I gotta keep her happy. And if going to church is gonna throw her, I can swim. So I told her I'd go to church with her. She said, really? You're going to church? Yeah. It didn't matter that I had her crying before we got home. Because at least I was going. He didn't have to know. He said, he's going to church. Yeah. Then it worked for a little while. It was uncomfortable for me because she took me to an expressive place. You couldn't blend in. So when I got there, there's drums, there's music, and we called it a prophetic song church. I was like, this is a pathetic song. You know, I wasn't in a good place. Yeah. And they're, you know, and the ladies are storming up there. And I'm like, what in the world? The flags going around, the business, and people going around the church. And you really? Everybody, everybody stand, and everybody, boy, bad things off, and Jesus, come on, give me a shout. This is the church you took me to. And you can't really, like, everybody stand, you can't just stay in your seat. It's really impossible. I'm so out of here. In my life, I'm standing there, and I'm like, try not to be too obvious. Are you kidding me? I mean, even in my debating process, I would sway my body. Well, just to, like I was at least there, you know? Why did she bring me to the church? I'm trying to marry her. She's going to pay. She's going to pay. Not only around, everybody around me is going like this. And they're talking to the air. So I'm like, man, this is freaky. And you can do this. If you don't do this, they're going to send you. You're going to stand out worse than a sword. So don't hold on to you. They're going to try to guess things out. I did it. I'm like, oh, this is just crap. I did it. For a long time. Couldn't care less about God. Never even thought about it. I just made sure I didn't stand out.
Yeah.
I usually had a cry before we got home. Pretty sad. What men do to stay the same where they're at is death. Every morning I saved, I was called by the gas pumps and I saw the pastor of that church years later, long time later. He remembered me, barely remembered me. I parked my car, ran over, and I cried. Told him Jesus saved me. Changed my life, and I said, I want to apologize to you, sir. That I came to your church and played hypocrite and raised my hands. I just came to keep my wife happy, to get my way with her. And I just want to say, I'm sorry. The time you spent in prayer and ministry, and I said, I'm sure something got me somewhere along the line. How that realize is good. I just want to let you know that, man, I was lost and never found. Confessed that season of sin in my life. He hugged me, was happy for me. It was all good. And I got in the car and had Jesus that morning. Isn't it amazing how we can live to get through the moment and be so insincere? It's survival, it's self-centered, it's deceit. I had no conviction of my life coming before we got home. I was joking. If he saw how close you went to the church and everything, I made it up. It's 2 blocks away, you should walk. And usually, she'd be crying in the car because I was mad that I had to go. And then one day I heard her say something, he was talking to me, and I was talking to me. I guess. I don't know if I had anything yet. But I just was talking, and I guess I was learning the language of the woman. I heard her say to my wife, she said, your husband. She's like, such an amazing man. She said, oh, really? You don't live there for one afternoon? but I heard her say. So that was it. So when we got in the car, the last week back, told you ain't upstaging me like that, mocking me, embarrassing me, and I'll never come back to church again. So that was my out. So now I adjust the vacation. Because she knew it. Finish me up. Is that him? You tell us where you're here. Finish me. Yeah, that way after us to come home together.
Amen.
You're not going to see me living that way. Because that's Harry. No, you're not going to see me living that way. I have it 24 years from my boat. There's no reason to change now.
There you go.
Yeah, you have lived with me for 24. I have. My conscience is really pretty clear. That's my family. Yeah. That little pink note earlier last night, you don't get those little pink notes to what I'm saying, ain't true. Unless you think she looked at my face. Okay. Everyone must be invited into his presence to the blood of Jesus Christ. He loves us. He says who we are through his word. And we all just let out what he thinks. And if you don't care about the value in God for your life, meaning destiny, I'm going to talk about vanity. Let's talk about some puffed up weird thing. Let's talk about healthy, loving yourself for purpose, for destiny, in the Lord, seeing the value of your life through Jesus. If you struggle with that, let today be the last day of your struggle just because the Bible says it's not true. Because the cross says you have to be worth more than what you. So I don't care how real it feels to you. Listen, sometimes you need to learn to starve your feelings and just tell them hush. Really, when I say I don't care, it doesn't mean I don't care. What I'm saying is it doesn't matter what your feelings are saying. It's not producing life. Sometimes you need to just say, hey, this can't be true. It can't be good. It can't be God because it ain't producing anything.
Right.
You feel that you need to take a hike. I'm done believing in security. I'm done believing in significance. I'm done needing somebody to show me attention. I'm done. Jesus, you came. You died. You just hit me. I turned to your Colossians.
Yeah.
And we're there right now. This is where we're at. This is so good. This is where I'm at. She's there. I'm closing the door to go. And it's Colossians 2. And that's what Robert said. He said, you know what I think is funny about the end? He'll say, turn to like Colossians 2, and then he'll never read it. And I'm not sure Colossians 2. Well, the latter end of your prophecy didn't come to pass today, so Robert, I'm going to read it. Is it on the board?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Let's just do this. Well, we can just read. For I want you to know what great conflict I have for you, those led CNN, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. What a hard call I have, huh? That their hearts should be encouraged, being knit together in love, attaining to all riches. I mean, this guy has to see something and believe something. To lay down his life and have this much affection for people that he's not in direct touch with. Just seeing the value of men. I mean, it's beautiful to walk through the airport and not be bothered by people when there's so many different walks of life around you and not have preferences and first opinions because you understand one major truth, everybody's worth blood, and whether they know who they are or not, Jesus has destiny for everyone.
Yeah, amen.
You know what's crazy? You get talking to someone and he knows everyone. Like details. He'll show you things that you're thinking, things that you're bothered by. He'll show you things. I can say to people, I said, you know, this morning when you woke up, you had to set in your room. And they're like, how do you know I don't? Jesus, everything about you. And I'm with that. And I'm with that. I'm like, how can you know everybody details? That was that he knows details. Your hearts members knit together, attained always a foolish words, understanding the knowledge of the mystery of both Father and Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Where's all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden? In the Father and the Son of Christ. And that's all? The woman, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So we probably shouldn't look anywhere else. Now this I say, he said, I want you to deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you, Spirit, rejoicing to see you the Lord, the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. talk about the demonstration of your life there, right?
Yes.
Now here's all I need to. Can you keep scrolling up for me? Just go ahead. Just keep scrolling. There, that's good. I'm sorry. Go back down just a little bit. I wanted to get the whole thing. Yep, right there. As you therefore have received, so much to come about right before that, your life. As you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, how did you receive him? By faith, through grace, right? But by faith, right? So as you receive him, so walk in him. And he gives you the answer. Rooted and built up in him and established in. He didn't say faith, he said the faith. There's a difference. Faith could be faith to move a mountain, faith for the sick. It could be a tool in your belt to get something to move and shift. The faith is totally different, and you'll see it in a lot of places. Obedience to the faith, build up to the faith, rooted grounded in the faith, standing steadfast in the faith, resisting the devil, steadfast in the faith, 1 Peter 5. Obedience to the faith, Romans 3. The faith, he's not talking about a tool in your belt to move a mountain. He's talking about a perspective you live by. He's talking about a view on life that you've now acquired through him. It's the faith. The unity of the faith. We're all believe the same thing, but who knows? We don't all believe the same things doctrinally.
Right.
But we're all believe that he took the lie off of us, the truth of us, and he woke every one of us up this morning to shine. It's like the brother I took the inmate, the black brother, and I said, are we anything alike outwardly? Are you ever going to mistake us? Everybody was laughing. Why? Because we are nothing alike in the flesh. But we can both be like him. We can both look like him. We can both wake up for the same reason.
Amen.
And neither one of us are zero limited. Neither one of us are in any way limited to access to him.
Right.
You get it?
Yeah.
So that brother and me can walk in the unity of faith. Why? We both wake up for the same reason. We can both walk in love. We can both shine his light. We can both look like Jesus and we're nothing alike. Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
That's why there's no who's who. Because he's who.
Right.
You get it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to walk in rooted and established in the faith. In other words, we're going to hold on to the faith. We're going to say, okay, my life's not my own. I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. Man, I was lost and now I'm found. Man, he took everything that I used to be and wiped it away. All the things I've done, he wiped away, gave me new life, new reason for being, new purpose. Wow, this is amazing. I'm finding my life in Christ. You see? As you have been taught, now there's a tragic statement, because a lot of us today, you've been in church 50 years and never been taught this. And Paul's assuming we're taught this because that's what he's teaching. He knows what he's teaching.
Yeah.
And then a lot of circles will say they honor Paul and won't teach what he taught.
Yeah.
Paul says, as you've been taught, he knows, he's being accountable, he knows what he's teaching. But the truth is, I'm not saying this in a mean, angry, judgment way. You've been to church 50 years and never been taught these things. Abounding in it with thanksgiving. Why does he attach thanksgiving on the end of all these nine scriptures and say, with thanksgiving, he does it on us. Why does he do that? Thanksgiving is a barometer that in the midst of whatever, when you have thanksgiving, it's a barometer that you didn't turn self-centered, you didn't turn inward, the focus is never real. When you lose your thanksgiving, you've taken something personal, you've turned inward, you've internalized things. And all of a sudden, the circumstances determine who you are and how you are, you've lost thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a sure sign that you haven't turned inward and you're not self-focused. You follow me?
Yes.
He said in everything, give thanks. He didn't say for everything, he said in everything, give thanks. He talks about trials and sufferings with thanksgiving. Why? It's a sure barometer that you haven't taken this thing personal called persecution that we face in the gospel. When you lose your thanksgiving, that's a warning sign. That the way you process these personal.
Yeah.
That's why he attaches it in the back of a long search. Don't miss this kind of stuff. Beware. Uh-oh. Warning. Beware. Do you ever see a sign anywhere? Beware of gold. And you're looking to see the gold.
Yeah.
And then you see the silver apple. Beware. Please, anyone, cheat you. Some translations say, rob you, take you from under, hold you captive. If you have a Bible out there, you
you may saw all those different translations and say that it's all the same thing. You were saying that cheat you, rob you, take you, plunder, hold you captive through philosophy, human reasoning, philosophy, and the deceiver, the traditions of men. Why is this list here? Because you just saw that in the Father and in Christ is all the treasures of
wisdom
and knowledge.
Yeah, that's right.
And beware that somebody ain't trying to school you and teach you outside of the Father and the Son. This seems bigger than we think. I don't know if you sit in the church big time.
Yeah.
Where we get up and share philosophy, get up and share psychology, get up and share human reason.
Yeah,
yeah, brother, I mean, sometimes you're trying to use wisdom.
Yeah.
Who's wisdom?
Yeah.
Well, you know what they said. Who's that? Isn't it amazing the language you all grow up in? Don't get your hopes up. You ever hear that? Don't get your hopes up. Bible says you get your hopes sky high. See anything in your soul. That's where I'm afraid. Faith is something, things go for it. And you grow up with your hope.
Yeah,
and when you see it first again, the Bible says, don't ever live on what you see. When you see something, it changes. You don't see eternal hang on to it. And yet, you grow up with the language, what you see is what you get.
Come on.
Hey, what you don't know will hurt you. Are you kidding me? What you don't know is destroying you. Then destroy you for that knowledge and all you're getting out of your class. Homeschooled in the wrong moment.
Yep.
So the wrong language that God is not speaking. He goes through a whole chapter in Matthew 5 and says, you say, but I say. Six times, you say, but I say. You say, but I say. What's he saying? You ain't saying what I'm saying. That should sober us. You said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy, but I say to you. I say to you. Love your enemy. Reference to us, did you give to us in spite of the issue? Why would I do that? So you may be sons of the Father in heaven.
Yeah.
See, sons is not a confession, it's an expression.
Yeah.
And you may be sons of the Father. For what credit is it to you if you love those who only love you? Even the pagans attached to them. What's he saying there? Love your neighbor. Why? So you may be sons of your Father who causes the rain and sun to come upon the righteous and the unrighteous. For what credit is it to you if you only love those who love him? That's the word of the Lord. That's red letters.
Yep.
I mean, whether it's anyone teaching in philosophy, I can see according to tradition and according to the basic principles of the world, not according to why? Because in Christ and the Father are all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom. For in him, in who?
Jesus.
In Christ,
yes.
Dwells all the fullness of who God is what that's saying. In a man. In him goes all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And look at this. And you are, not becoming, you are complete in him.
Yes.
You see why I'm a confident man? You see why I preach like I preach? You see why I'm half a madman when I'm talking all the time? Because I believe the gospel, and you're not talking out of the philosophy and the deceit, emotions, memory. Done. I'm done.
Yes.
Changed. I'm complete. Didn't know. So what do? You wake up in the morning. Wow, Father, thank you. And so completely, and there's nothing I can do to be more righteous. You love me. And even when I was unloved, you said I was more. You've won my heart. You captured me. You opened my eyes to see your first love. Man, that's not how I shed my love. You. It's so cool because nobody owes me anything today. My wife owes me nothing. My children can't fail or disappoint me. I did not bring them on the earth so that they can fulfill my will. I'm on the earth to love and to shine. God, thank you. I'm done with disappointment, stress, frustration, strife. See, I've said this so long ago, but I don't even talk this way anymore when I pray. I'm just sharing with you as a springboard to get you to start walking in his direction. Because when I'm preaching it, you can't not hear that it's like it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
When I'm preaching in your heart, you're in the mess. Yeah. And your mind will be going, yeah. It's impossible. No. Yeah. I know that happens when you're talking, it's not that extreme. But you're here and it's full of truth. This seems doable. This is.
Yeah.
Whosoever.
Yeah.
But here's the key. Be what they're saying on truth. The philosophy to just the way men think apart from God is all that's said. And not according to. So isn't it detrimental to view your life for a moment apart from Him?
Yes.
And think how much time you spent doing that in your life as a Christian.
Yeah.
Are you all with me?
Yeah.
Yes.
When you get that, all the fullness of the God and love, there's another scripture in Ephesians 3 that says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. To know, which passes knowledge. What's he saying? To know the love of Christ, which passes Jesus loves you. Are you with me?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Greg.
What is it?
Greg.
Greg. It's one thing, Greg, for me to say Jesus really loves you. It's another thing for Greg to be loved by God.
Yes.
Theologically, I'm always sure. Greg, God loves you. It's another thing for Greg to be loved by God.
Yeah.
Whoa. To know the love of Christ in passes. Is to be filled with all the fullness of God. So Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, which means that same fullness in your bodily should be your completeness.
Yes.
It should be your fullness.
Yeah.
Then Ephesians 3 bears witness to it and confirms that God allows us to do work. You see how? When I read a line, I preach like four other scriptures, get excited, and I get in the back of the line, and down three scriptures in. Fullness of that, I look at the fullness, you know, it means a house of knowing people. It means a town of knowing the house. It means a ship so full of cargo there's no space to even place one more box. It's full. That means there's no vacancy in your life. You're fully completely occupied.
Amen.
Yeah.
It says to know the love of Christ is where that comes from. It doesn't say to be treated right by your spouse, to be given your due, to be acknowledged by man, to be promoted. To know the love of Christ is the only place where you can be fully occupied and know Christ. What's that say? You can only truly find yourself in Him. And anything that's not saying what He's saying will never be false. Are you with me?
Yes.
This is how narrow of a way it is.
Yeah.
It's a narrow way. He's the way, not the way.
Yeah.
He's the way.
Yeah.
Not the. Are you all with me?
Yeah.
Yes.
So can we live this thing?
Yes.
Because He loved you.
Yes.
The greatest thing a Christian can do is acknowledge that and know what He's meant. I learned, sadly, as a pastor, a long time ago, countless Christians, large majorities in a room like this, the large majority of them, had never, not only about changing that, had never, when they were all alone, just initiated a conversation and just said, wow. Thank you for loving me the way you do. I so appreciate your love and how you forgave me of everything. Thank you that I'm clean in your presence.
Yeah.
Countless Christians go to church and ministries never even thought that way when they were alone. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
If I read my Bible right, it's the very tool God uses to bring out certain freedom, transformation, and change.
That's right.
Yeah.
So when you're all alone, wow, thank you for that.
Yes,
I had a minister who once took 3 days to hold her eyes and mirror and not look away. and see myself as a star. I value you. And she don't say she's your villain or that she took away, because she did not believe that about herself being on the cross extra. Then it took her 3 days to get past herself. And she looked right in the eyes, and she saw in the mirror looking right in the window and soul. She's looking at all herself and talked like that because she didn't look away. She said it took 3 days to actually press through that thing and thought it stronger would make her feel insecure and insecure and saying that, but weird. And she pressed through and she said, man, when I held my eyes and got those truths out, I can't even explain.
That's good.
I was in healing service for his friend, he's waiting me. I said, you know, I don't think your thing is physical as much as social. She started crying and her friend started crying. They knew her story and I didn't know her. And I said, look, here's what I need you to do. I need you to write that instrument. I said, don't anybody use the instrument. Just leave her go for a second. Go back to the instrument. I want you to look in the mirror. I want you to look in the eyeballs that you see in that mirror. And I told her a couple little things to say. And I said, it's going to be amazing for you. She was in a ball room. And while she looked at me and said those things, God let her see it. It's transformed her. It was so powerful. I've learned from pastoring a lot of people have not been that personal before. They pray about their kids. They pray about their jobs. They pray over their finances. They pray over their offering. They pray over their food. I just stop in the middle of the hall after back to the room. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for loving me and fixing me. Eyes on me. Never turning away. God, broken. To a beautiful place. God, I love you.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
You're going to go here for a little bit like me. Don't let that keep you away. Don't want to see the ears like me. Just be the best you. Don't be afraid of that. Don't not go near it because you've been your head like me. Who was saying that? Y'all good?
Yeah.
This is teaching one. We're just going to dismiss y'all by a long time. Wow. Y'all just sat in there. I always say, well, hey, this is a secret. This is standing in honor of him. This is an offer this evening. If you know what it means to be a friend, you don't have to. But if you know what it means to be a friend, it's just a special feeling.
Yes.
Right now, an honor to be holding hands.
Yes. Yes.
There's a kind of a posture saying, you know, I'm holding hands. I'm saying,
yes,
I'm
holding hands.
It's like a lady's t-shirt. I'm just holding in. This is my posture. You're not going to
know. Jesus.
And I'm just opening up to you. And I want this to be my life, my revelation. And I want this to be my life. Father, with hands raised and standing in honor of who you are. We thank you for the grace that's working in our lives.
Yeah.
We thank you for how you're convicting us and teaching us and training us that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are wrapped up in you in Christ Jesus. And we just look to you and thank you that that wisdom is becoming ours more and more and more and more and more. Holy Spirit, would you convict us? Would you lead us in these truths? And would you empower our life to not do these things, but become these things?
Yes.
And I'm asking for that grace over this room. That this room would touch her sphere of influence like never before, and that our lives transformed would undoubtedly make a difference without us trying so hard. God, I thank you that love is evangelism, and that lives transformed will bring transformation in each scene after it's all done. Father, thank you. It's an honor to you, a privilege for this moment, and I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Jesus, holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.